pleasant speech multiplies friends.
And a gracious tongue multiplies courtesies. Let those who are friendly with you be many. But let your adversary or advisors be one in a thousand. When you gain friends, gain them through testing, and do not trust them hastily. For there are friends who are such when it suits them, but they will not stand by you in time of trouble. And there are friends who change into enemies and tell of the quarrel to your disgrace. And there are friends who sit at your table, but they will not stand by you in time of trouble. When you are prosperous, they become your second self and lord it over your servants. But if you are brought low, they turn against you and hide themselves from you. Keep away from your enemies and be on guard with your friends. Faithful friends are a sturdy shelter. Whoever finds one has found a treasure. Faithful friends are beyond price. No amount can balance their worth. Faithful friends are life-saving medicine, and those who fear the Lord will find them. Those who fear the Lord direct their friendship aright, for as they are, so are their neighbors also. If you are flipping through Proverbs to find this text, you will not find it there because it's not from Proverbs. It sounds an awful lot like Proverbs, though, doesn't it? It is actually the words of Sirach, the wisdom of Ben Sirach, which is a book that is much like our book of Proverbs. It was written around the 2nd century B.C. and probably after the structure of the Proverbs. In fact, it is a son really explaining the wisdom that he received from his father. And we're going to look at a lot of verses tonight from the book of Proverbs about friendship. But what's nice about this text from Sirach is it kind of puts all of that together into one solid text. We can look at this and see a lot of the wisdom even that's coming from the Proverbs now kind of filtering its way into wisdom literature, non-inspired wisdom literature, but wisdom literature in ancient Jewish writings. And we see how they understood the way this worked in the Proverbs, and now he's giving the wisdom that his father gave to him in this written form that looks much like the Proverbs that we read regularly. Friendship is an interesting thing. In our day, the term has been so watered down, I think it's important for us to understand what true friendship really is and what friendship really looks like. More than once, Katie and I have been sitting at home, and she'll say, "Do you know this person?" And she'll say a name, and I have no earthly idea who that person is. And then she says, "Well, you're friends with them on Facebook." That's the world we live in, where we have friends that we don't even know. And really, they may not even be acquaintances, even. And so it's important for us to understand the nature of true friendship and what that really means, and really the idea of someone who is a selfless friend, someone who is really your friend, who's not in it for just their own gain or their own benefit. We know a lot of people. And a lot of times we naturally form bonds, as I think we are meant to do. And it's very easy. But ultimately, friendship is a matter of choice. We choose who our friends are going to be. And in fact, the scriptures warn us that there are certain people we should not be friends with, even if we're tempted to be friends with those people. We don't have time to go through all the context of Proverbs 1 or Proverbs 4, but likely you've read those at some point in the recent past, where it's talking about be careful of those who invite you to come with them on their evil deeds. Don't go with them. Don't be friends with those people. They can't even eat until they do evil, it says in Proverbs 4. And so certainly those are the kinds of people that you should stay away from. Or in Proverbs 22 and verse 24, it says, "Make no friendship with a man given to anger, nor go with a wrathful man, lest you learn his ways and entangle yourself in a snare." And of course, a lot of what we do as parents, those of us who are parents, is trying to help our children make these kinds of choices. It doesn't matter if they're little or if they've gotten a lot older. We're still trying to help them navigate this concept of choosing the people they go with. That's what it says here in Proverbs. Don't go with a wrathful man. We're worried about who our children go with and the things they're going to do, because we understand the influence and the power of choosing the wrong kinds of friends, and we understand the influence of the power of choosing the right kinds of friends. And I really love the statement that's made in Sirach about the middle part of that reading. He says, "When you gain friends, gain them through testing, and do not trust them hastily." What he's telling him, what his father's telling this son is, to be very careful who you choose, because it's a choice. Be very careful who you choose as your friends. We are so blessed. I look around sometimes, and for instance, in my own neighborhood, and I have some good relationships with people in our neighborhood. There's some interaction, whether it's online or in various events. But it struck me a while back, after we moved into this neighborhood we live in now, that a lot of these people, their friends are only the people there. That's who they have. Now, they may have family other places or some other friends they've made along the way, but they spend all this time with people they've met in the neighborhood because that's the people they have. And I think maybe we don't appreciate, I knew I didn't at that moment until I thought some more about that and saw some of their interactions, and really people pretty desperate to make friends even within the neighborhood, just how amazingly blessed I am and all of us are because of the wisdom of God and how he has constructed his people in such a way that anywhere we go, anywhere I've lived in my life, I've been able to develop tight friendships. I'm looking out tonight at very, very close friends, friends I've made in the past who are still friends. I've seen Mike a couple times recently here. We did camp together a few years ago, and so we had a great time with that, and we developed a friendship with that, and it's just all those kinds of things. We went to Florida College with some people who are out here tonight, and we developed good friendships, and then years later, we show up, and we're here together, and how amazing that is. And our young people, as you're developing friendships, I want you to appreciate that as well. How amazing this actually is, that right now, at any part of the country, essentially, we could probably go and we would be able to find the kinds of friendships that Scripture and wise people, guided by Scripture, tell us we ought to make because of the wisdom of God. I have friends here that I've only known for 4 years or less who are closer friends with me now than people I've known for 20 plus years. It's just an amazing thing that it's just built into who we are and what we do. And so we're talking a lot about being thankful over the last few weeks. We ought to be thankful for that. It's just the wisdom of God working in our lives to create and to build the types of friendships that we really ought to have. And so let's talk a little bit about being a selfless friend and looking for a selfless friend. A selfless friend looks like this. It is someone who has pure motives in your relationship. Now, we talk a lot about marriage to our young people, about choosing the right mate and those kinds of things, right? We need to look for the right person because it's so important. But I want to transfer that to talk about this idea of friendship as well, that it is a choice. And that it is important that we choose the right kinds of friends, because some really bad things can happen when we don't choose wisely. When we're looking for the person we're going to befriend or people we're going to befriend, the top of the list I think that I've developed in my life is I want someone who is pure. And I mean that in this sense, that they want to be my friend because they want to be my friend, not because they're just wanting some kind of gain out of it, not just because they want to use me for something, to get some benefit that they want, and then when that is there, then they're ready to cast me off. That's not real friendship. I want someone who is truly wanting to develop a relationship with me, and I want to develop a relationship with them, as it's talked about in various places in Scripture, that we have something that's real, that's not motivated by gaining wealth or status or power or popularity or anything like that, but it's the kind of person we're going to stay with no matter what. We're going to stay with them through difficulty, when it's a trial in my life. I've got a friend and they're struggling. Maybe it's a struggle with sin, or maybe it's a struggle that has nothing to do with sin either way, but I'm still their friend and I'm trying to be there with them. I'm trying to help them in this moment of difficulty and struggle. That's what a true friendship looks like. It doesn't look like you're upset with something somebody says and so you just unfollow them, so you don't have to see their words anymore. That's not true friendship. It is something that is gained through testing, that we spend a lot of time and a lot of thought and a lot of prayer in deciding the people that we're going to allow into our life in this way. The poor is disliked even by his neighbor, the wise man says, and this is from Scripture, Proverbs chapter 14. But the rich has many friends. And some of these, I'll let you figure them out. I may tell you as I think of it, but they kind of have air quotes around the word friends, right? Because the rich has many friends, people who want what they've got. That's really what it is. They're not interested in truly developing a relationship. What they really want is their stuff or something associated with that. Wealth brings many new friends, the Proverbs say. But a poor man is deserted by his friends, by the people who were supposedly his friends. When he has nothing, they walk away. It really reminds me of Job. I'm coming up at some point, I'll be teaching Job, and so I've been reading through that. And you get to a certain point, and of course Job is in great despair because of what he's been going through. And he recognizes at one point throughout the story that all of his supposed friends have left him. Now, you do have to say for the three friends who are there, they actually are there. Now, they start saying some stuff that's not true and things that aren't accurate, but at least they're there with him, so we can say that much about them. But he's seeing that those whom he had encountered and been acquaintances with and he thought were friends, many of them are going the other direction now because he's marked. You know, they think that he must have done something wrong and they don't want to associate with him because he's in bad times now. And that's a lot like what some friendships are in this life. That's what the Proverbs are recognizing. Be weary, be very careful. Test these relationships before you allow someone deeply into your life to make sure this isn't someone who's just out there for their own good, but they have pure motives and they really want this bond. And of course, Sirach talks about this a little bit in the reading. He said, faithful friends, they're a sturdy shelter. Down in verse 16 of what I just read, toward the end of that reading in Sirach, it says, faithful friends are life-saving medicine, and those who fear the Lord will find them. They're the people who are there when we need them the most. They don't just run off when things get hard. When times are difficult, they don't pick up and go to the next person who can give them what they need. When I was younger, I think I was in second grade, there was a boy who moved to the little town that we lived in. I lived in Fairfax, Vermont, tiny little town. We had a graduating class of 117 people, and that was the biggest class we had ever had. And it was K through 12, the whole school. So we had seniors walking around with kindergartners in this school, very, very small. And so this boy moved to town. I think he had some money. I don't know where he came from, but he was always flashing his money around. So, of course, in second grade, we all wanted to be his friend. Back then, young people, you probably don't understand this, but they had like Coke machines and stuff in schools. We could get that kind of thing. And so John would go down to the Coke machine and get us all Cokes. Right, but our teacher, who was pretty aware of what was going on, one day pulled us all aside and kind of lit into us because she knew what we were doing. We were just using him for his money and for his Coke. You know, but then we would give him a hard time. We would pick on him. That's what we were interested in. It wasn't in true friendship. And so she saw through that, and she let us know she was aware of it. But unfortunately, it's kind of like that as adults sometimes. If we aren't careful, we can allow ourselves to be used. And how sad it is, some of us have seen this, right? When we see this happening in someone's life and they don't see it clearly, they don't realize that that relationship is being abused and they're just being used and they've chosen poorly. And they haven't heeded the wisdom in books like Proverbs, where it talks about the kinds of friends that we ought to choose and not to pick them hastily. I was warned when I first started preaching years ago now, I was warned by various mentors to be very careful with the ones who befriend you quickly when you go somewhere. Now, some of you might think that's a little bit crazy, but I'll tell you, I have found that to be true. A lot of times they have a motive. They're on one side or the other of an argument, and they want to get you on their side, and they want to get you fast when you first get there, and they want to feed you their story, and they want to be your friend because they want you to stand behind them and get their back on whatever the issue is. Unfortunately, sometimes that's the way we are as humans. And the wisdom of Proverbs is to be weary of that. And as a young man, I didn't think much about that until I had multiple people tell me to be careful of that. And especially a couple places I've been in the past, that has very much been the case. And I had to learn some hard lessons by backing some people who were clearly in the wrong once I knew the whole story. And that's the wisdom behind these statements about when you gain friends, gain them through testing. Do not trust them hastily. Be careful the kind of people you allow to be in your life in this very significant way. We do not owe friendship. We simply don't owe it. And that's a hard thing to understand and to think. But it is gained through testing. Now, what I will say is, we do need to be loving and gracious and merciful and caring and compassionate, even if we don't consider someone a friend, even if we think there's danger, even if we think that's not someone I'm going to allow in my life in a very significant way. We still need to exhibit all of these qualities and attributes of someone who is a saint, a follower of Jesus Christ. But the scriptures are very clear that we do not allow certain people to be friends in our life. Right here in Proverbs 22, where we just read, he just gave two examples, someone who is angry or someone who is a wrathful person. But other places, it's someone who's lazy or someone who's a drunkard. There are various things that we need to be very careful about, that we don't allow that to get in our life and to influence us. We need to look for friends that have pure motives, who truly look out for our good, and the kind of people that we can really look out for their good. Which leads to this next idea I want us to understand about true friendship. And what it really looks like, it is not the person who will butter you up and say all kinds of nice and flattering things to you all the time. That's not what a selfless friend is really like. A truly selfless friend will speak truth to you even when it hurts. They're the kind of person that has pure motives. And because they have pure motives, they'll say hard things to you. Things that you don't really want to hear. They'll tell you when you're doing things that are wrong or things that are even sinful. They're not going to be fake and just flatter you and make you feel good even when things aren't good in your life. And some of these ideas from the Proverbs may be some of the most important that we're going to look at tonight. And so I want to turn and read a few of these texts. In Proverbs 27, for example, Proverbs 27, you've heard these texts before, but I want us to think through them a little bit. It says in verse 6, this is Proverbs 27 in verse 6, "Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Profuse are the kisses of an enemy. One who is full loathes honey, but to one who is hungry, everything bitter is sweet. Like a bird that strays from its nest is a man who strays from his home. Oil and perfume make the heart glad, and the sweetness of a friend comes from his earnest counsel. Do not forsake your friend and your father's friend. Do not go to your brother's house in the day of calamity. Better is a neighbor who is near than a brother who is far away. Be wise, my son, and make your heart glad, that I may answer him who approaches me." A lot of things in here about the idea of friendship. But the key element that I want us to pull out are probably the two phrases that you picked up on in relationship to this idea of speaking the truth to each other in love, which is actually a quotation from Ephesians 4. But it's oft after the same nature of some of what we're looking at here in the Proverbs. This idea of faithful are the wounds of a friend. Be very weary of the person who praises you all the time and only tells you sweet and good-sounding things all the time. It very well may be that they're not fitting that first concept of having pure motives. Sometimes that's just the way people are. They're just sweet people, and all they ever can think of to do is to praise you. And that happens. And so I don't want to discount that, but I do want us to think carefully about how that works sometimes and realize we are supposed to be wise. We are supposed to be wise in our relationships. And be careful about the one who seems to be building us up to get the things that we want, and realize that we need people, and maybe this is even the more important part of this, that we need people in our lives who are going to tell us what we need to hear. And that's not an easy thing. Typically, we, at least initially, reject those kinds of things. We don't like to hear that we're doing something wrong, or that someone doesn't like the things that we're doing or saying. And so maybe initially we react harshly. Maybe you've had this in your life like I have, and then later as you think about it a little bit more, you realize that person was right. And they actually do care, and that's why they're saying something about this. This is a night for stories about when I was younger and first started preaching, I guess. But when I first started, Katie was great at giving me feedback. She kind of learned with me. That was part of the program and the training. Now she's busy with kids, and so that makes it a little bit harder. She's still good at it, but she has divided attention. But when we first started that process, that was tough. You know, you get in the car on your way home, what did you think? And she starts giving you the real feedback. Not the feedback you get back there. Now, you do get some real feedback back there sometimes. I'm just saying, there's no sugarcoating. When you get closer and you have that marriage relationship or a close friendship, like they tell you how it is. And I remember some of those moments. And I didn't enjoy it. But you know what? It's what you need, right? It's what you actually need from people. The saying good job and good sermon and all of that is good, and I appreciate that. But what I really like is when someone can actually restate some things that were talked about up here, and I'm sure Jeff would probably agree with this, and even ask some questions about it, or maybe question even some things I said, and we can work through it together. That's really good feedback. And that's something that actually may help me as I go forward and try to think about how I'm going to do this later or present it later. And I realize that in the setting that we have here as we're leaving, that may not always be the best situation for that. But I'm just saying that that's the sort of thing that actually helps us. And sometimes we're so resistant to that. And those of you who do things that are similar to this, and what I mean is maybe in your job, you're doing something very public and you're getting immediate feedback. You get used to the criticism, right? And you'll see people who aren't used to that criticism, and when they receive it, it doesn't go so well. But the reality is it's what we need. Part of what's happening right now, even if you don't consciously recognize it, is you're checking the very things I'm saying. That's why we use Scripture. That's why we appeal to this authority of Scripture. And that's why you look and you say, I don't know, do I agree with this? Do I not agree with this? That's part of this whole process. And if you disagree with something I'm saying, likely, some of you especially, I know, would come and you would tell me. And that's the sort of thing that we need. We need that openness. We need people who are willing to speak the truth to us in love. And that's kind of in this setting. But in friendship, it's the same way. Whether it's with how we're raising our children, maybe those of you who are older, you see some things that just aren't right. I've talked about this in other sermons. It's hard for us as young parents sometimes to see the things that we're doing from the big picture. And it is helpful when we have someone come and say, hey, I tried that with my child, and that worked really well, so keep it up. Or that didn't work so well, here's another idea, or something else you could try. And the reason that we don't want to do those sorts of things are one of two reasons. One, we hesitate because people react poorly when people actually tell them the truth. Or second, we don't feel close enough. We don't feel that we have this kind of bond that's being talked about here in places like Proverbs or in other books of wisdom like James. We don't feel that kind of bond that we really know we need to have, in a sense, to go and have that kind of deep conversation. And so what that means is we need to be seeking people who are willing to do that for us. It's a really important concept that we find friends who tell us not the things that we want to hear, but the things that we need to hear. And so this idea of faithful are the wounds of a friend, they hurt. Those words of truth, they hurt sometimes, but they are beneficial to us. And I really liked verse 9. When I was reading verse 9, preparing for this sermon, I thought about lots of people in my life, and you can probably do the same. Oil and perfume make the heart glad, and the sweetness of a friend comes from his earnest counsel. Who is it in your life that you just have this great appreciation for? Because you know that they're going to come and tell you things that you need to hear. That's this kind of friend. That's the relationship that needs to be developed, and it needs to be developed with other friends as well, that you have this kind of openness, or you reach a point where you can have this sort of openness where this is a sweet kind of relationship because you know their counsel is faithful. It's from a pure motive. They're doing it simply because they love you. And sometimes that means they say things you do want to hear, things that are good. They praise you and they lift you up and they encourage you for what you're doing. Other times that means they bring up some things that need some work. But you value that because you know that person is in it for your best interest. And hopefully that's the way our marriages are, those of us who are married. That we can have this kind of relationship, that it is a sweet type of relationship. And I mean that in the sense of what he's saying here in Proverbs 27, that we know that the counsel is something that is faithful. Maybe it's not what we want to hear, but we know it's something that we need to hear. And maybe we don't even always react to that in a good way, but deep down we know it's right and we can begin that process of making a change. And so that's what true friendship is. Someone who's willing to do the hard thing with us sometimes and say, this is where you need some work. This is where you're struggling. And then real friendship looks like this. Someone who is willing to share with you in your joy, rejoice with you, and someone who's willing to weep with you when you weep. Another quotation from the New Testament, in Romans 12. The idea of speaking the truth in love is in Ephesians 4. This idea, at least rejoicing with those who rejoice and weeping with those who weep, is in Romans 12. But I think it's taken from the sorts of things we see in the Proverbs about what true friendship actually is and what it should look like. It's the kind of people who stand by you at all times. Think about that series of stories in Luke 15 where you have the prodigal son, you have the lost sheep and the lost coin, and sometimes we focus on other aspects of that story. But think about this one small little part of the story. When the sheep is found and when the coin is found, there are people who are called who come to rejoice. Do we have friends in our life who are those kind of friends? They're the ones who come and they rejoice with us. We feel comfortable telling them our victories, the things that have gone well, and they legitimately rejoice with us with pure motives, with good hearts. Not just seeking what they can get, but you know that they love you and they care about you and they want to feel this joy with you. But then also the reality of people who will weep with you when you weep. And I've struggled with this a lot in my life. And as a man, and the rest of you out here who are men, we don't really like to cry a lot. But I don't think physically crying or shedding tears is mandatory in this whole weeping with those who weep. Now, sometimes that's going to happen, but it's really the concept, it's the idea that we allow ourselves to hurt with somebody when they hurt. That we do what those friends of Job did in the beginning is we just go sit with them. And we recognize the pain, and we recognize the difficulty and the struggle. And we're not there to fix things. We're not there to try to change stuff. We're not there for all those reasons, but we're just simply a friend who is there to stand by them, who is there to sit at their table when things are good and sit at their table when things are bad. Faithful friends are sturdy shelters. Whoever finds one has found a treasure. Faithful friends are beyond price. No amount can balance their worth. Faithful friends are life-saving medicine, the wise man says. Sometimes it's the pill that we need. Maybe it's hard to swallow, but they're the one who's there for us. They're the ones who sit at the table, but in times of trouble, they don't stand up and leave. They stay there with you. They share in the good times, but they also share in the sadness and the difficulty. They're those who are like everyone else in the story of the prodigal son except the eldest brother. When the father looks out and sees his son coming and he runs to him and rejoices and he brings him in and he kills the fatted calf and he has the big feast, everybody else is there and they're celebrating. Right? They're ready to rejoice with the father and with the son in this time of joy. And then you have the eldest brother who is not being the neighbor, not being the friend, who doesn't want to rejoice when others are rejoicing. He's got bitterness in his heart because it's not for his own good. Have I not served you all these years? He said, he makes it all about himself. He doesn't have pure motives. He's not speaking very truthfully. He's not ready to share in the moment as it appears. those are not the kinds of friends that we want. We want the kinds of friends that are explained to us in the Proverbs, that we're told these are the types of people you want. And you know, you have a lot of friends, I'm certain, but you know the ones who fit this mold. In fact, I could probably ask you to get a piece of paper and a pencil or a pen out, and you could write down two or three names right now. That's the model. And so for us who are parents with our children, as we're trying to reinforce this, point to Scripture. Point to these examples. Point to these words of wisdom about what a true friend is. And as we're developing our friendships, remember these ideas and these concepts that a friend is one who is closer than a brother, someone that has this tight bond, this affection even. That's part of what it means to be a friend, a person whom one knows and with whom has a bond of mutual affection. That's really what friendship is. That we care about the same things and that we love the same things. And in our case, for those of us who are here, we are bound together in a very special way through Jesus Christ. We believe in God the Father and we believe in Jesus the Son. And so in many ways, that's what actually is bringing us all here together. We have a lot of different backgrounds. We come from a lot of different places. Yet we have this similarity that brings us together, and we should value that greatly. And see that the blessedness of having this group of people here among whom we can build great friendships. I'm just going to tell you straightforwardly, I'm very concerned when I see people and their best friends and most of their friends are in the world. I realize we're going to have those friendships, and sometimes they're even close friendships, but it is scary when what's here is not being heeded. And it looks a lot like Proverbs 1 and a lot like Proverbs 4, and people are being carried away and they don't even recognize it. Be careful who you allow to be your friend. It is a choice. We have a friend in Jesus. We sing that song. This is what that looks like. He died for us. He laid his life down willingly. He didn't have to do that. He sacrificed himself. This model of true friendship and love, so that we could be reconciled to the Father, even though we are in sin, even though we were ungodly and wicked, it says in Romans 5, at the right time he died for us. And that's what it really looks like. That's the kind of person we're supposed to be with others. But we have that with Jesus, and this is what he asks. He asks that we follow him, that we give our life to him. He has saved our life. He has redeemed us from a life of evil and sin, and our master that pushed us to evil and sin, as Romans 6 talks about, this slavery to sin. He's redeemed us from that, and now we're slaves to God, slaves of righteousness. And the way that happens is, he says, I want you to be baptized in my name. You're going to be washed clean. You're going to come up out of that water in newness of life. You're going to be a different person. And so you have that option tonight if you've not done that yet. If you haven't left that old man in the old life and come up anew, you can do that tonight. But maybe it is you've done that. And you just have underappreciated the true power of Jesus' friendship. And maybe it is that you just haven't been a good friend. You haven't held up your end of the bargain of what friendship really is. And you realize that tonight, you haven't been living the way Jesus would like for us to live. You haven't been doing things the way he's asked us to do them, even though he's saved us. He's given us new life. If you realize that tonight, you can make it right. Why don't you come now as we stand and we sing together.